وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, all praise due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I was here maybe 10 minutes ago, but the roads are blocked. Not only you can't park anywhere, you can't even move in the street to find a place to park. Wallahu al-musta'an. I wonder if someone had to take his children to the hospital, or his wife was about to deliver, what would they do? And who would be responsible before Allah? 3-4 cars. Wallah, it's not acceptable. Even if you have to park 10 minutes away and walk over here, you must do so. But you can't come the last minute, just double park anywhere, block people, and wallah, come and do salah. Can't do it. Not in Islam. In the culture, yes, but not in Islam. And we need to act upon the teachings of Islam. The Shaykh, the khutbah's title is interesting enough. إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Verily the mercy of Allah is near and close to those who excel. The Shaykh said, from the attributes of the ever-living, the maintainer, the one whom neither slumber nor sleep overtake him, the most merciful of those who show mercy, he shows mercy to whomever he wishes among his slaves, general mercy which encompasses all of them, and specific mercy which is strictly for the believing slaves of his. He shows mercy to his slaves, so he will see those in the state of torture and pain, and he will alleviate and relieve them from the suffering. And he shows his mercy by guiding those who have been misled, so that they can be guided aright and to the straight path. Your Lord shows mercy to the sinful, so He forgives their sins and He conceals their faults, and He accepts what they do of good so long that they regret and return to Him. So then He will treat them through His grace as among His repenting servants. The Shaykh said, how badly do we need, O slaves of Allah, the mercy of Allah in our lives. There isn't any how many bounties and favors that Allah has over us which we cannot count or enumerate. And how badly do we need Allah's mercy to forgive our sins and conceal our faults. But if we look to our deeds, if we look at our deeds, then we complain to Allah the gravity of our shortcomings. So there isn't anything except that Allah's mercy encompasses it. Everything in this universe is indicative of Allah's mercy. Everything which speaks, it's as if it's uttering the reality of Allah's mercy and the fact that He is the only deity that is worthy of worship. He said, this is the sama, look at the sky that has been raised without pillars. Now this is a masjid. How many pillars do we have? A lot of them. Without these pillars, can this masjid remain in this fashion? According to the way it was constructed? No. Any construction requires pillars, usually, in order to maintain it. Now the sama is not the average construction. I mean, it's a construction. And Allah Azza wa Jal said, بَنَيْنَاهَا. It's a bina. It's a construction. بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا. Without any pillars, without any pillars which you see. And it's vast and huge. It doesn't fall upon the children of Adam. And if Allah willed, it would fall on us. And it will crush the people on earth, because it's a created entity. The sama is a created entity. So the Shaykh said, look at the sky. This is the sky that you see without the pillars. And what about the earth? Who's the one who flattened the earth and made it a surface where you can actually walk and go about your business? Otherwise it could have been rough. Human beings cannot walk upon earth. Look at the sick one. Who granted him cure? Who cured him? Who cured him? The blind who helped him walk amongst the people and the crowds without crashing into anyone. The infant or the embryo in three various darknesses. Who's the one who nurtures him and takes care of him? Oh, by the way, this is based on a poem. It's a very interesting poem. I just realized this. The snake who placed venom in its mouth, but it doesn't die. The venom is supposed to kill the snake. If you really think about it logically, it's poison. And the snake, if it were to swallow its own poison, then it will die. Who caused it to have venom, poison in its mouth, without dying? Without being affected by the poison? And look at the honey. Who made it so sweet? And look at the milk. Who brought it from between the flesh and the blood of the animals, so it became pure and clean for you to drink? The stones, who brought water out of them? And the night, who's the one who caused it to cover up everything? The morning, who caused it to come out of the darkness, to break out? This is why it's called the break of dawn. The break of dawn. It breaks in through the night as if it's ripping the darkness away so the light may illuminate. Who is the one who gives respite? He gives some time for the oppressor. He doesn't automatically punish him. If Allah were to treat each one of us according to his dhulm, then many of us would not even be in this masjid now. Yani, for example, Qarun. What did Allah do to Qarun? He made the earth swallow him along with his treasures because of his arrogance, his rejection. If every time we acted in this fashion, Allah caused some immediate punishment to afflict us. You know, you lose your sight. Let's say you look at haram, you look at something forbidden, and Allah causes you to be blind. You say something wrong and Allah causes your tongue to be tied up in your mouth, you can't speak anymore. You steal something, Allah causes your arm to become, you know, handicapped. You can't move it. But Allah doesn't treat us in this fashion. Who is the one who gives the wrongdoer some respite? He gives him some time, some delay. And who is the one who, and the oppressor, the tyrant, who's the one who breaks him down? The one who oppresses the people. Who's the one who will take revenge of him? The oppressed one, who's the one who will give him, who will aid him and support him? The one who is in distress, who is the one who will respond to him? The one who is in need, who is the one who will supply him? The one who is misled, who is the one who will guide him? The one who is lost, who is the one who will direct him? The naked, who is the one who will dress him? The hungry, who is the one who will feed him? The one who is broken, who is the one who will rectify his break? The one who is held captive, who is the one who will release him? The one who is poor, who is it that will cause him to be rich and give him richness? And you, O slave of Allah, who created you? Who fashioned you? Who break out from your body, your hearing and your sight? Who formulated you and fashioned you and proportioned you? Who sustained you? Who fed you? Who helped you and gave and aided you? Who guided you? It is Allah Azza wa Jal. There is no God worthy of worship but He. His mercy and His knowledge encompass everything. The Shaykh said, فَاللَّهُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ نَشَرَ هَذِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ بَيْنَ عِبَادِهِ. Allah, through this mercy, through His mercy, He actually spread this mercy amongst the slaves. Yani, from the mercy of Allah, we actually treat each other with mercy. Otherwise, we would have been we're like beasts. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah Azza wa Jal has made rahmah 100 parts, and He held on to 99, which He will keep with Him, and He sent down to earth only one part of 100. Okay, it is part of this one part of rahmah that the creation show mercy to one another, so that even the horse will raise its leg for the young horse to drink milk. It's mercy from Allah, otherwise they will not move. And then they will have no access to that milk for nursing. And it is through that mercy that, you know, even the animals show mercy to their offsprings. And this hadith is in Bukhari. Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated. He said, a woman, a war captive, or what we know technically in Islam as mulkul yameen, right hand possession. When Muslims would fight with the non-Muslims, and they would be victorious, they would actually own the property of the non-Muslims, including their women. And their women became mulkul yameen. Otherwise, what do you think Allah is speaking about in the Quran? Illa ala azwajihim aw ma malakat aymanuhum fa'innahum ghayru malumin. What is the ayah? This ayah comes more than once in the Quran and other ayat. Even among the last things the Prophet ﷺ said, As-salatu salah wa ma malakat aymanukum. The salah, and what your right hand possess. These are women which Allah made lawful for the Muslims as an early reward for their striving in Allah's cause. These are, they're known as sabi, the women which are gained through a military expedition upon the defeat of the enemies. Some people complain, say, this is not fair, this is safe. Listen, you can tell Allah on the Day of Judgment that Allah didn't know how to legislate. If any one of us has a problem with the legislation of Allah, on Yawm al-Qiyamah say, Allah, I realize that my intellect, mashallah, is so vast, you didn't know what to legislate, I object. And see what Allah will do to you on that day. And so we need to know our limitations. Why am I emphasizing this? Because some people get scared. Say, don't say this to the people, you know, they don't understand and they're going to think this is not. This is the deen of Allah. If we don't understand, we have a problem. We are the ones with the deficiency in our intellect. The biggest evidence is 48 times 48. 48 times 48. No one knows. Maybe someone give me an answer. No one knows. If we don't know 48 times 48, do we know more than Allah? Yani, look how weak we are. We can't even do a basic math. Maybe some of us should have this memorized from the, you know, table of multiplication from first grade. Still today we don't know it. On what basis do we object to Allah's commands? This shows you that we don't know what we're doing. So, this is mulk al-yameen, right hand possession. A woman was brought from among those to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was. How am I going to put this in adequate terminology? She was milking her own organs that produce milk in order to feed one of her children whom she was looking for. And finally, when she found him, she grabbed him and she stuck him to herself and she nursed him. The Prophet ﷺ said to them, to the Sahaba, can you imagine this woman throwing or tossing her own child in the hellfire? Yeah, and you've seen this woman going out of her way and she's squeezing milk out, looking for the baby. She finally found him, she embraced him and she's nursing him. This is love, this is compassion, this is mercy. He says, can you see this woman throwing her child in the fire? And the Sahaba said, no. He said, verily Allah is more merciful to his slaves than this woman is to her child. But be careful. The shaitan will tell you, okay, good, so you can do whatever you like. No. This is for those who acquire the mercy of Allah. And I hope the Shaykh will quote the ayah which mentions that Allah made his rahmah restricted to some individuals. And I hope if he doesn't quote it, I will quote it for you, inshallah, abshir. The idea is, don't be fooled by the shaitan. Oh, Allah is so merciful, he will never put me in Jahannam. No. Allah may put one of us in Jahannam. That's just the way it is. Wallahu azizun dhuntiqam. Allah is full of might and revengeful. Now we disobey Allah and His Messenger, we're taking a risk that we will miss out on Allah's mercy. The Prophet ﷺ said, if the mu'min hadith, alhamdulillah, the Shaykh is good, mashallah. If the believer knew what kind of punishment Allah has prepared, none of them would have looked forward to Jannah. If we knew the kind of punishment Allah has prepared for the disobedient, we would not even look forward to Jannah. We would not even have any hope in entering Jannah. However, and if this is the believer, if the disbeliever knew what Allah has prepared of mercy, then he would never despair from entering Jannah. See the balance? If the believer knew what kind of punishment Allah has prepared, none of us will hope in Jannah. We will think that we will be punished by Allah. And if the kafir knew the reality of Allah's mercy, he will even hope in Jannah, even though he's a kafir. So there's a 50-50, you know, in the middle. And let it be known that Allah's mercy to the disbeliever and to the disobedient is means of testing them. Because Allah said, وَلَوْ رَحِمْنَاهُمْ وَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِمْ مِنْ ضُرْنِ لَلَجُّوا فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. If we were to show mercy to them and alleviate the harm which had befell them, then they would have screamed out loud and they would have insisted in their transgression, wandering heedlessly. They would have increased in tughyan, in transgression. Ya'mahun, lost. They're wandering. Not wandering when you wander something. W-A-N-D-E-R. When you wander, meaning you're lost. You don't know your way. You're just walking around like a drunk person. The Shaykh said, this is the insan, this is the human being who's ungrateful and distant from his master. Allah Azza wa Jal bestows his blessings upon him, and he will refer the ni'mah to himself. He will say, it's because of me, because of my intelligence, because I'm special, and so forth. And then he will do evil deeds, and he will continue to have hope. And you know, I will do good later, I will change, I will repent to Allah, until he forgets Allah and the last day. And if a person who is sincere advice says to him, Ya Akhi, Allah is Ghafoor al-Rahim. If you advise him, you will say, Akhi, and this is, wallahi, this is a fact. When you advise him, say, fear Allah, this is haram, this violation, he will say, Rabbuka Ghafoor al-Rahim. Allah is Ghafoor al-Rahim. You know, Allah is Ghafoor al-Rahim, subhanAllah. Why are you making life difficult for me? Let me enjoy myself. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. This is a misunderstanding of the names and attributes of Allah. The same way, I'm just going to give you a small example we can relate to. You have a boss at work, and this boss has a number of qualities. If you do good, he's known for being generous, and he gives you bonuses, and he will give you a day off, and all kinds of good stuff. I don't know if these exist anymore, but yani, we're hypothetically speaking, this boss exists. And he's also known for being very strict concerning punctuality, coming on time, doing your job and whatever. Do you have the right as an employee to only accept his good qualities and ignore the other ones? We're not going to call him bad. He has the right for him to be strict that you come on time. Do you have the right to say, wallahi, bonus, you know, this and that, but concerning the shortcomings, you say, this part I don't accept? You don't have the right to do so. He's your boss, and these are all of his qualities, you accept him in this fashion. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. To Allah belongs the highest and the best example. The same one who taught us he's Ghafoor Rahim is the same one who taught us he's Shadidul Iqab. And it's the same entity, the same object of worship. We don't want to use the term person. Is the same one who told us both qualities, and believers accept in all of the names and attributes of Allah, or some of them, all of them. So be careful of the tricks of the shaitan. The Shaykh said, subhanallah, do you seek Allah's nearness, Allah's mercy, Allah's forgiveness, while you behave in this fashion with this bad treatment with Allah? How do you expect good from Allah when you put forth that which is evil? The Shaykh said, subhanAllah, how do these people manage to bring a relation between evil deed and good assumption? They do bad and they assume good. It should be the other way around. The Shaykh said, oh believers, it's not a long khutbah. Oh believers, it has been authentically attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that a woman who used to be disobedient to Allah, very far and distant from him, she went out one day, and while she was walking, she came across a dog. This dog was twisting and turning from thirst. He was on the verge of dying because of extreme thirst. So she saw a dog in this state, of agony. And when she seen him, she had some mercy and compassion towards him. So she went down into a well where there's water, and she filled up her khuf, which are the leather socks. She filled that up with water, and she brought it to the kelp, to the dog, and she gave him some so he may drink. So the dog drank and he quenched his thirst. Allah Azza wa Jal looked at her mercy to his creation, and so Allah Azza wa Jal was grateful to what she did and he forgave her previous sins. Actually, it comes in the hadith that she was a prostitute. She was a prostitute, not any woman, a super evil woman. Yet Allah Azza wa Jal showed mercy to her because of this particular act. With a drink of water, her sins were forgiven, and her shortcomings were concealed. Because of a drink of water, her Lord from above the seven heavens, who has placed mercy in the hearts of his slaves, gave her this privilege. The Shaykh said, this is the slogan of the Muslims and the righteous people and all those who have been given success by Allah. How many problems have they solved by Allah's grace, and how many problems have they removed? It is because of the mercy which Allah Azza wa Jal has placed in their hearts. So they became means of goodness for the rest of the people. As Allah said concerning the Prophet ﷺ, who was the master of all that, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. You were only sent, you were not sent actually, if you want to be accurate, you were not sent except as mercy to everything which Allah created. Muslims, compassion, compassion, mercy, mercy. The closest people to you are the people who need your mercy and your compassion and your goodness and your excellence the most. How badly do we need to show this kind of mercy to our parents, our mothers and fathers? How badly do they need this mercy from us? Show mercy to them and do not humiliate them. Do not torture them. Forgive them. Do not hold them accountable. Do not insult them. They need your mercy specifically now that they have their hair has become gray and they have reached old age. And what they need your mercy even when they are in the graveyards waiting to be resurrected. They need a righteous supplication from you today to make a dua for them, that you raise to Allah Azza wa Jal so that Allah will expand their graves. He will expand their graves right now. Now that they have become absent and among those who are gone, and they need a dua where Allah will forgive their sins and expiate their sins. So then raise your hands sincerely to Allah and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to show mercy to them. A man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is there anything left for me to do as means of being dutiful to my parents? He said, Naam, as-salatu alayhima wal-istighfaru lahuma. Salah for them, yani dua. Salah can make dua. And this is known in the Arabic language. Make dua for them. Then he specifically mentioned istighfar, seeking Allah's forgiveness on their behalf. وَصِلَةُ الْأَرْحَامِ الَّتِي لَا تُوصَلُ إِلَّا بِهِمَا. And keeping the kinship ties which cannot be kept except through them. Yani the people that are connected to them, you keep the kinship and the family ties with those individuals. You cannot recite the Quran, as many people think, recite Juz'u Amma and give it a hadiyah, you know, a gift to my deceased father. There's no basis for this in the Quran and the Sunnah. Not the Quran. You make dua for them. وَوَلَدٍ صَالِحٍ يَدْعُ لَهُ. A righteous son who makes dua for his parents. And for those of you who missed it, there was a lecture delivered before Hajj on the rights of parents. It was called "An In Them Do Struggle" at the International Medical Center. It's available on DVD. It will soon be available on DVD for all the people who have parents, or even those who have parents of deceased. The lecture is more elaborate than this portion, obviously, with more evidences and more practical ways for us to be kind to our parents. It will be available in lecture which Allah, by Allah's grace, I delivered. And there's a lecture this coming Monday which all of you are welcome to attend at the International Medical Center at 8 p.m. And the title of it is The Saved and Aided Sect. The Saved and Aided Sect. I think the title says much about the content. He said, similarly, those who need your mercy the most are your children, and your grandchildren, your wife, your brothers, your sisters, and the rest of your relatives. From Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, I never saw anyone more compassionate and merciful to children than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was very kind to the youngsters, as opposed to the way we are today. You know, you come to the salah and you see a young man trying to be, you know, upon the deen and stand behind the imam. And someone follows the opinion that he shouldn't be behind the imam, even though this is a wrong opinion. It's a wrong opinion. If he came before you, you have no right to send him back. You wanted to be behind the imam, where were you? Where were you? He came first, he has the right to be here. Yes, if we all came together to establish salah, then the imam will put us in the following fashion, the elderly behind him and the people of knowledge, then the shabab, the youngsters, then the women in the back. If we were to come together to the masjid. But some people come see the young boy behind the imam, and they not only they tell him nicely, they scream at him and they scold him, and they may traumatize him. He may never pray in the first row ever in his life. Because of this experience, you are responsible for it. Now this was not the way of the Prophet ﷺ. He's young, say, excuse me, if you follow that position, barakallah fiqh, this is for the elderly, zakallah khair, move to the side, move, you know, something nice, so he will like you and he will accept knowledge. But just to scream and show you're Superman over a young boy, this is when you became tough. Scream at someone your size, let me see what he will do to you. So this is nonsense that Muslims behave in a fashion that is unacceptable. Unacceptable. Wallah, there's no excuse for anyone. Even the youngster, you have to show mercy to him. Who is your example? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No matter how knowledgeable you are, you have to treat those who are young with kindness and gentleness. Listen to this. Once the Prophet sallam, the Prophet sallam kissed. He kissed Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein. So a man sitting there, he said, I have 10 children. I've never kissed one of them. Ajeeb, huh? The Bedouins. I've never kissed one of them. The Messenger of Allah was a compassionate man, and the people in Medina, you can call him more civilized. The people who came from the desert mixing with the camels, their nature was more stern. And this is something that no one can deny. Depending on where you come from, you behave. He said, I have 10 children, I never kissed one of them. Can any one of us say this today? There's no way that one of us hasn't kissed his child. It's far-fetched. Anyways, 10 of them never kissed him. Now what did the Prophet ﷺ say to him? He didn't like this very much. He said, and do I have any control over the fact that Allah had eradicated mercy from your heart? Allah has removed mercy from your heart. No mercy? You don't kiss a child once in his life? Ajeeb. So the Prophet ﷺ once, and also when his son Ibrahim was dying, he came, alayhi salatu salam, and he started to shed tears. And Abdurrahman ibn Awf said, Anta ya Rasulallah, you, O Messenger of Allah, yani he's expecting of him, because of his belief, he would not cry because of the death of his son, as means of accepting Allah's decree. He said, you, O Messenger of Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is mercy which Allah has placed in the hearts of his slaves. And don't be shocked that you cry. It's normal to cry, to feel affectionate, as long as we don't complain and criticize Allah's decree. So the Shaykh said, so then the children need your compassion and your goodness. They need from you dutifulness and kindness. So show mercy to them. Perhaps Allah will show mercy to you. And the last, at the end of the khutbah, the Shaykh said, and among the most people who need your mercy are those whom Allah has given you authority over. Among the employees and those who, you know, work for you and what have you. The Prophet ﷺ said, they are your brothers, and Allah Azza wa Jal has placed them under your control, under your authority. So whoever has a brother under his care, let him feed him from what he eats, and let him wear from what he wears. Clothe him from what you clothe yourself with. And do not overburden them with tasks and chores. And if you ever give them something, then help them. If you give them a lot of tasks to carry out, help them out. So don't be a dictator, in other words, over those who you are in charge of. Anyone who may work for you, you know, at the company, if you're a mudir, you're a manager, you're a director, you have employees, don't overburden them and show them the kind of treatment which they deserve, because they are your brothers in faith. That's why I try to hire the Muslims and don't hire other than Muslims. Anyways, also the Prophet ﷺ had said, O Allah, there's a dua, O Allah, whoever amongst my ummah has been given charge, has been given control, has been given power over any people of my ummah, and he becomes difficult with them, he makes things difficult for them, O Allah, make things difficult for him. Be very careful. And whosoever has been given authority and in charge over some of my ummah, and he is gentle to them, O Allah, be gentle to him. So this is the dua of the Prophet ﷺ. If we want Allah to treat us kind, let us treat those who work with us or under us kindly. It doesn't matter what his nationality is, his skin color, or his level of education. If he's a Muslim, he deserves the salam and he deserves a smile. Even if you want to ask him to get you a cup of tea, you say, Salamu alaikum, how are you today? Do you mind making me a cup of tea? 2 spoons of sugar, barakallah fi. Jazakallahu khairan, I'll be waiting anxiously. Not jeep chai. Masboot. What do you think you are, man? This is your brother in faith. Huh? This is your brother in faith. He may be in the sight of Allah better than 50 people like you, even though your pockets are fatter. So we need to know our limits. I say this again and again because I don't see application. We laugh, we like it, but when I go out and mix with people, I don't see application. I see the same ill treatment between the Muslims, regardless of their nationalities, Arabs with non-Arabs and non-Arabs amongst themselves. Ma'lish. I know Arabs have a problem in this, generally. Allah yahdina wa iyyahu. But even among the non-Arabs, amongst themselves, it's the same thing. Whether you're Indian, Pakistani, Bangladesh, it's not the same. It's not the same. And amongst these ranks, there's this kind of a condescending manner of speaking and treating. It's the same disease manifesting with others. And all of this is rejected in Islam. We need to treat the brother the way he deserves to be treated. He's your brother in faith. And so with that, the Shaykh concluded his khutbah. And if you wish to... Oh wow, I missed another page. Sorry. I'll make it quick, inshallah. I thought that was... Never mind. Tayyib. Among those who deserve your mercy, the orphan, the orphans, and the widows. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who strives in the cause of a widow or an orphan is equal to the man who fasts all day, and so he never breaks his fast every day, and he prays all night, and he never stops praying. The reward of the person who takes care of an orphan, and is not sending 20 riyals, as many people think. Say, how much does it cost for their 20 riyals? These 20 riyals? No. Al-qiyam, awsa'i fi amrihim, is that you're involved. You go over there, say, hey, how are you doing? What can I get you today? You're involved. You're wiping over their head. You're making them feel better. It is not simply financial aid, even though the financial aid is definitely required. But actually, there's more expected of you. But you know, if we can't do that, at least send them some money so we can take care of them. So if you bring happiness to their hearts, then Allah would be pleased with you. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhum ar-Rahman." The merciful, the most merciful will show mercy to. The merciful people, the most merciful will show mercy to. Have mercy on those upon earth, the one who is above the heavens will show mercy to you. The Prophet ﷺ further said, whoever does not, Allah will not show mercy to the one who does not show mercy to people. Among those who need your assistance are the needy and the poor. Give him sadaqah. And Prophet ﷺ said, protect yourself from the fire even with half a date. And the Shaykh then said, we will, you know, how many of you own property here? I don't want to expose you. Okay, Mufti. He said, we have a pause here with the people of Iqarat, the people who own construction buildings and what have you. He said, now it has become a major problem for most of us. And you probably experienced, not you, somewhere else, huh? The raise in the rent, you know? The same apartment which was available for, you know, 16,000 riyals, you go ask for now, it's 22,000, something crazy. Why? Because the tamiz, you know, they added 1 riyal, so the rent will go 5,000 riyal. And what does this have to do with that? But anyways, this is a scheme. Every day the people, you know, these tujjar, Allah yadeen, they rely upon each other's errors. When someone raises the price, say, we also raise the price. Because everything is expensive nowadays. So the Shaykh said, what is this, you know, where is the rahmah? Where is the rahmah that you're placing these people in this difficult situation? Some people cannot afford this increase in rent. You're forcing them to leave their place and be relocated if they find another location which is affordable. Where is the mercy to the people? Where is the compassion towards the Muslims? Specifically those who have a lot of money. You know, have mercy to the slaves of Allah. Aren't we not Muslims? Don't you hate for someone to do this to you? Then why do you do it to others? Where is being satisfied with Allah's sustenance and then being content? Why make life difficult for people while knowing that Allah may make things difficult for you? So where is the patience? So he said, we say to these, have taqwa of Allah and be reasonable. The money you have in your hand, Allah Azza wa Jal will bless it if you don't try to acquire it in an unlawful manner. Show mercy to them, Allah will show mercy to you. Help them in this dunya, Allah will help you in this dunya and in the life to come. And the Prophet ﷺ said, saddidu wa qaribu. Saddidu is when you aim. You know, when you, like the darts, when you throw darts, saddidu. Aim correctly. Qaribu. Try from qurb. Try to come as close to the target. You know, the bull's eye. Try to come as close to the target as you can. And know that none of you will enter Jannah because of his good deeds. Salah, Siyam, Hajj, not because of that. They said to the Prophet ﷺ, not even you, O Messenger of Allah, طيب, we will not enter with our deeds. How about you? Your Siyam and your Salah at night. He said, not even myself, unless Allah encompasses me with His mercy. So the only way to acquire Jannah, along with your good deeds, is mercy. Good deeds, you oppress others. You don't show mercy to them, Allah will not show mercy to you, your good deeds will be of no value. You see the relation? So along with our personal righteousness, which we assume to be righteousness, we must also be kind to Muslims and show mercy to them. So the mercy of Allah combined with our deeds will permit us to paradise. The deeds alone will not permit us. And there is another narration which supports that, but time really does not allow. Jazakum Allah khair for your patience. I know it's a long day for you to listen to a whole khutbah than a khutbah translation, but perhaps you hear one thing which you will act upon and Allah will place you in Jannah because of it. So don't undermine any good deed. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.